Picture a supermarket aisle. 12,000 products stare back at you. More items than words in a college graduate's vocabulary. Now imagine trying to remember even a fraction of them. You can't. Your brain won't let you. This isn't a failure of memory. It's a survival mechanism. In 1972, two advertising mavericks discovered something revolutionary. The battle for customers isn't won in factories or on store shelves. It happens in the 3 pounds of gray matter between your ears. The insight was deceptively simple. Perception matters more than reality. Your product could be objectively superior, meticulously engineered, and competitively priced, yet still fail spectacularly. Why? Because in the marketplace of the mind, being better means nothing if you're not first. This realization transformed how we think about marketing, branding, and even ourselves. The question isn't whether your product is good. It's whether your product owns a clear, defensible position in the mental real estate of your customers. Consider this unsettling math. American companies spend $376 per person annually on advertising, compared to just $1,687 in the rest of the world. Yet that million-dollar campaign translates to less than half a cent of messaging per person across an entire year. Advertising isn't a sledgehammer, it's a light fog. Your brain processes information by rejecting most of it. Once your mind is made up, it resists change with remarkable ferocity. The mind isn't infinitely expandable. It's more like a dripping sponge. New information can only enter by displacing what's already there. Democrats and Republicans read identical articles but extract entirely different facts. Wine tasters judge the same vintage differently based solely on the label. The technological revolution increased our capacity to communicate tenfold, but we developed no equivalent expansion for human attention. Our only defense? Brutal oversimplification. We categorize, filter, and simplify relentlessly. The solution isn't louder messaging, it's sharper positioning. Advertising evolved from the 1950s product era, better mousetrap plus promotion money, to the image era, where David Ogilvy proved reputation trumped features, to today's positioning era, where creativity alone no longer guarantees success. Strategy is king. Who was the second person to fly solo across the Atlantic? The second highest mountain? You can't answer because our minds fixate on firsts. Kodak, Kleenex, Xerox, these brands became synonymous with their categories by arriving first. Your mind organizes brands like a filing system, creating mental ladders for each category. Harvard psychologist George A. Miller discovered we can't handle more than 7 units at a time, hence 7-digit phone numbers. Most people can't name more than 7 brands in any category, often just 1 or 2 for low-interest products. This creates brutal hierarchy. The first brand typically captures twice the market share of number 2 and 4 times that of number 3. These relationships remain remarkably stable over time. When you can't be first, position yourself against the leader. Avis transformed 13 years of losses into profit by admitting, "We're only number 2 in rent-a-cars, so why go with us? We try harder." This honest positioning generated $1.2 million profit the first year, $2.6 million the second, $5 million the third. Not from trying harder, but from relating themselves to Hertz on the mental ladder. Similarly, 7-Up couldn't compete as another cola, so they became the un-cola, creating an alternative category. The follower's essential strategy, chercher le créneau, look for the hole. While Detroit built longer, lower cars, Volkswagen succeeded with the short, fat, ugly Beetle. Their Think Small headline brilliantly stated their position while challenging assumptions. When you can't find a hole, create one by repositioning competitors. Tylenol repositioned aspirin by warning, "For the millions who should not take aspirin," highlighting stomach irritation risks before mentioning their own product. This strategy made Tylenol the number one analgesic. Market leaders enjoy structural advantages. Consumers repurchase familiar brands, stores stock them, and they attract better employees. Yet leaders squander these through complacency or misguided ambition. When Coca-Cola launched Mr. Pibb against Dr. Pepper, or IBM introduced copiers against Xerox, their size meant nothing. They weren't first in those mental categories. Smart leaders don't waste advertising on "We're Number One" campaigns. Instead, they enhance the entire product category, as IBM does by selling computers' value generally. Coca-Cola's The Real Thing campaign positioned them as the standard, making competitors mere imitations. Leaders should adopt promising innovations as insurance. General Motors' $50 million investment in Wankel engine rights protected their $84 billion business. Effective repositioning changes prospects' minds about competitors, not your product. Royal Doulton repositioned Lennox with one ad: the China of Stoke-on-Trent, England versus Lennox, the China of Pomona, New Jersey. This gained them 6% market share by reframing the competitive landscape. Shakespeare was wrong. A rose by any other name wouldn't smell as sweet, because we smell what we expect. Your name is the hook that hangs your brand on the product ladder in prospects' minds, often your most critical marketing decision. The best names convey the major benefit: Head and Shoulders, intensive care, die hard. Meaningless names like Coca-Cola and Xerox succeeded only because they were first with revolutionary products. Eastern Airlines, despite being the second largest passenger carrier, consistently ranked fourth in surveys because its regional name mentally grouped it with Piedmont and Ozark, not American and United. B.F. Goodrich faces perpetual confusion with Goodyear. Despite inventing steel-belted radials first, consumers credited Goodyear. Companies often fall into the initials trap. Minds process information phonetically. People use phonetic shorthand when it creates efficiency. RCA instead of Radio Corporation of America, 12 syllables to 3. But when there's no advantage, initials fail. Politicians understand this. They use Ted Kennedy and Jimmy Carter, not E.M. Kennedy or J.E. Carter. This applies to personal positioning too. Leonard Sly became Roy Rogers. Marion Morrison became John Wayne. Your name matters tremendously. In our over-communicated society, only obvious ideas work. Positioning requires sacrifice, giving up something to establish a unique position. NyQuil gave up the daytime market. Most companies do the opposite, seeking to broaden through line extension. This may boost short-term sales, but causes long-term erosion. When Bayer means aspirin, it can't also mean non-aspirin. Scott dominated paper products, but undermined itself with Scott Towels, Scott Tissue, Scott Ease, Scott Kins, and Baby Scots. Despite large market share, Scott lacked mind share. Scott on a shopping list has no meaning. The shopping list test reveals the flaw. When you write Kraft, will your spouse bring cheese, mayonnaise, or salad dressing? Line extension slowly transforms brands into everything and nothing. To succeed at positioning, you need mental flexibility and courage to act decisively. The common thread in successful positioning isn't marketing skill. It's seizing initiative before competitors establish themselves. You can't compete head-on against a company with a strong position. Go around, under, or over, but never directly at them. Winners won't be those with the best products. They'll be those who own the clearest position in the human mind.